interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 560. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so you really have to get you behind the woodshed. And as I talk with people, we start applying what I've been saying. I really don't get to the meat of it all because it's just so complicated on a case-by-case basis. When you go to apply this stuff that I'm telling you, even though it just sounds like I'm reading the news, it becomes a lot more involved. It becomes a lot more study. You're always doing an assessment, a case-by-case assessment, every step of the way, applying new things that you may find that I've said over and over again. And so it's a bit of a work. And you're always going to be when we're living in an occupied territory, as I've been finding, when you stick out, you're going to become a target at some point, possibly. And it all kind of depends on how long you want to put up with that, or that you do it all, or what you want to do to fight through it. A couple of my friends have been doing this kind of thing, resisting the oppression for quite a long time, and the local authorities, so-called, just give up at some point. There were too much trouble. There's too much more money to be made with other people. So that's another tactic. I'm not saying anybody do it. You really have to know what you're trying to do in there. Not kind of. You really have to do it. So you put your head up and someone wants to take a pot shot at it, or they collect you up. And so that's been truism, I guess, or through my study and my experience. And it came up right at the end of last week before I got to the broadcast, but I couldn't cover the story. There's quite a few things I'm now missing. There's just so much to really touch. It all has a lesson for us of various things, and it's all how we perceive. But this one's pretty definite now, and definite for someone named Gonzalo Lira. There's a lot of hesitation around him and what he did, but he was a witness, and that's kind of what I was looking at through him. The State Department confirms death of U.S. journalist jailed by Ukraine. Gonzalo Lira's relatives have blamed his death on Washington and Kiev. He was arrested by the Security Service of Ukraine, SBU, last May, and accused of discrediting. I want you to listen very carefully how low the bar is here, and this is just generally coming on. When I'm talking about Gonzalo Lira and over in Ukraine, I don't talk about him necessarily, although he is an example like many are. I'm talking about this reflects back on what will happen around us, wherever we are. So, discrediting the Ukrainian leadership and the military. And I want you to remember that little tag on, and the military, because we're going to show you that it's happening in the United States too. Again, this is a global thing. The statement about the nation state being dead is almost a false statement with any nation being involved in the UN, but in a sense, the nation state is dead. It's global. These controls now are global. And the military is one of the ways that they do that. But here, this issue here, like the U.S. military keeps track of us, that we've been hearing over and over. They control what we listen to through various means. And so who is going to be the discreditor is the one that's going to be the victim of the power, if you will. And this is why it's so important to push back. I mean, we really have to make a noise about this. So here with Gonzalo Lira's death, the Ukrainian and U.S. governments discredit themselves. If we also see the reflection of that mirror, the two-sidedness of all these things, the give and the take of this, it's like one point, like I said before, one finger pointing is three pointing back. But so the Ukrainian government and the U.S. government discredit themselves in this, showing neither have ever had standing the right or the power to complain. When you look at this goes through, it'll be passed as a death and an unrighteous death. And rightfully so, but there's so much more behind what the governments do to people, and it's not to put fear on us, it's to understand what we're really up against. Those of us that step up to say, I've had enough, and I'm not going to take it anymore somewhat, or maybe better, we figure out where there was no power in the beginning, and that's an open secret when you start reading this stuff, but you're not going to be given that anywhere anyway, and you're going to have to fight for that. I ask you not to physically fight. And that's where the study comes from. Try not to do that. The Chilean-American blogger Gonzalo Lira has died in a Ukrainian prison, his family said on Friday. Quote, I cannot accept the way my son has died. He was tortured, extorted, incommunicado for 8 months and 11 days, and the U.S. Embassy did nothing to help my son. The responsibility of this tragedy is the dictator Zelensky, with the concurrence of the senile American President Joe Biden, his father Gonzalo Lira Sr. said, or wrote in a note to the Gray Zone. So the Blinken idiot, as I've been calling him, had one job here, to protect American citizens abroad, folks. And I told him on a Twitter prior, and I'll give you the link when you get into the broadcaster. I'll give you, so you can just see it, that his job was to protect American citizens abroad. And I also said that if he can't help Gonzalo Lira resign. Blood-stained Blinken now shows he puts private desire before public duty, if you're reading more of the news and the depth of it. And this is probably the prime national security consideration that he's failed, completely failed. Now, this starts to go up the chain. I haven't finished this line of notice because I'm putting him on notice now, you'll see, under 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4. Will it mean anything? I don't know, but it's going to be a record. And that's the whole point about this. We can start making this record, start making the noise that we're fed up with this nonsense and these people. And there's a certain way to go, and I don't think there's any morals in these folks, so we're not going to really talk about morals to them or principle. They're not principled whatsoever. So we have a real problem. This is the worst rising to the top, and this is the America that we were supposed to keep ourselves from. We read on the story here from the link you can get. And I said the broadcaster, I think we'll be publishing the broadcaster. It's not, it'll, for your sake and the listeners and the reader, you'll be fine. As long as the website doesn't have a problem, we're going to try and work out a different workaround, I hope. But right now, with all broadcasters were put up with the audio file now of all over a month and a half. And they will be available now. So we're trying to get those everything fixed up as we're moving in. And I'm just going to highlight there's potentially a donation drive that will be really sorely needed here coming in a week or two. And I haven't got word on that yet, but I just want to give us a heads up on that. And there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes right now to get things moved along a lot better. And we'll see here. But it moved on here. This is a serious thing. Another journalist is taken down. Consider the attack again for us and the people. In war, communication is the most important, and you see the government goes right after it. According to his thread last July, the Chilean embassy in Kiev at least tried to help him, while the U.S. mission gave him only empty bromides. But Lira suggested that this was because Victoria Nuland, currently the acting deputy to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, hated him personally. Remember, this gentleman is in Kharkov. In Ukraine, he's actually, I think the stories are, and I don't know for proof, but just reading on the internet before, he's married to a Ukrainian woman. He's got his family there, and so that's why he lives there. And there's a lot of questions why he didn't get out when he had a chance. He didn't read the situation very well, and so when he could get out, when he finally decided to get out, it was essentially too late, and they caught him up again. So this is what leads from this, where he got caught up trying to get out, to his death, and they mistreated him terribly. Tortured is not the interesting way they tortured him as well. They used prisoners as well to torture and beat him up. The extortion appears to be worse than he was even saying at the time. But getting back to Blinken, and who is supposed to, again, the State Department, international law, all this stuff, the protections, why the United States exists, is all under scrutiny right now. And whether or not it's really serving the people or serving self-serving members, which need to be removed. Having here the duty to protect, what does my listener think is the source of this rabid Zionist's actions relative to Israel if he'll let an American die in the prison of a country professing democracy. I said there's a lot tied in here with the promotions that have been going on. Complete, they're just words. Empty bromides, as Lira said, to us. Not just his stuff, everything about everything we hear. Look at what's going on. All these same people are still involved in all of this. This is, again, just despicable what's going on. We're allowing it by not making more noise. And I know it sounds a bit futile and feeble to send a Twitter directly to the Secretary of State. But I did send one, and I backed it up with another one, and I said, take Nuland with you. Now, the next set will be going likely to Garland and to the President. They're the top end of this. And so, yes, it may sound futile, but my notices will be out. And I just haven't had a chance to follow up. I wanted to follow up before this week so I could tell you. Just to let you know, it's there. Start making a noise. Force these people into doing better than what they've been doing. Or get them to resign. Get them out of there. Now, I don't know. There's no real pressure. But I think you're watching, even in the German farmers, the mass pressure can start causing serious trouble when it's done better than what we've seen in the past. Now, here on Lyra, I may not have agreed with some of his views, certainly, but he paid here the ultimate price, the ultimate evidence for being a witness to internationally organized corruption operating under color of lawful government. This is my take on what he or he was. And this is a, if you look now, extend that out from him. Is this the fate here of Julian Assange as well, as I thought about that, at the hands of the United States and the United Kingdom? And I remind you, who just went over and bombed Yemen without any war, without any real justification? No, there's no self-defense there either, but they're claiming lots of stuff. So look at the players. They're all the same. The people that allowed Gonzalo Lira to be killed and tortured. Now, had he done something really, really bad, and this is a freedom of speech issue, but had he done something really bad, I suppose that they should have made him go through the penal laws of that country. But that's not what happened. In fact, even in America, the jailer, typically the sheriff, is responsible, so-called, responsible to keep and care for the prisoner. The prison is not supposed to be for punishment itself. We're losing all these principles, but that's the way it's supposed to be. And then I thought about, once I thought here through Julian Assange and his mistreatment at the hands of the United States and the United Kingdom, two of the worst players, I think, short of the Zionistas in the country, because the Zionistas are running these places, essentially. And I started to think, well, how about here the J6 involved Americans in particular with those rotting in jail without charges? If you don't think sitting in jail is a torture all by itself, I don't know. You need to maybe sit in jail for a while and tell me how you feel about it, especially when you can't get out, you can't do much, and you can't turn, you can't move, and you can't defend yourself, and there's no one listening. This is all lessons for us through this, sparked by this death. So this just expands out into anybody, not just Gonzalo Lira, not Julian Assange, not the J6, everyone who lives underneath an occupying force, such as, and wants to do something about it, such as my critical listener here, whether or not that's apparent. And this is what starts to invoke in me more and more thoughts and more contention. Why I continue to come and do this. Why it's important I at least give the word out. People, there's some people listening. Speak to those people. I can't speak to those that don't want to hear. There's a very serious condition in this world. But we can only do our little part. And the best place I found is when these occupiers come after us. And they always come after us underneath some benefits of law and order. And it's all a lie. I sent the second X Twitter, you can get a link to. I said, the highest national interest in your duties is to protect Americans. Remember, these links go right to these folks. So this is like a new thing in history. We've never been able to communicate to these folks. Whether they listen to it or not, it's irrelevant. Certainly in my book, it's been deemed to be a communications device by the court. So this is a notice. And so I say, the death of Gonzalo Lira is blood on your hands. Resign. And take your complicit Deputy Newland with you. Then turn yourselves in for investigation violating 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4 and more. Remember, I only got 288 characters. I don't have a blue check. I can only say so much. So that's been sent. I'm on record for that. I sent another one right after that. You'll get a link to that. You can see that I'm actually doing this stuff for whatever good it might do. I'm going to follow up. And so there is, if we insist on it, whether we see it quite yet, there's consequences to official dereliction here. But just as there are consequences for faithful compliance to official obligation and duty. So here, far too long, we've accepted this rise of the worst. And that really has to be put an end to. So there's a couple more stories here written about Gonzalo Lira. I'll go through a few of them. I think it's very important. It's just despicable what's going on with him. If he was a petty criminal, if he was in Ukraine, whatever it was, freedom of speech would have been on the line. They couldn't let that happen. He was a pretty objective witness about and critical. In fact, he was so critical, they called him a Putin promoter. And Putin, he was not. I mean, anybody who listened to him knew that he wasn't. Like I said, I'm kind of critical of some of his views, but it doesn't matter. He was a witness, and that's partly what I've found out more, tracked him down about with his postings. The U.S. government has allowed Ukraine to kill an American journalist who criticized dictator Zelensky. In a world of cowardice and lies, telling the truth where and when it really matters takes courage, and it costs, and it can cost you your life. So Gonzalo Lira is dead, and he was warned in his last video message before being disappeared this time as it turned out, forever by the Ukrainian regime. His political journalism has cost him his life. A successful social media commentator and American citizen, Lyra died while incarcerated by Ukraine's repression apparatus for his criticism of the Western and Ukrainian positions on the war against Russia. Again, these are links of longer stories. I don't have the time to go through them all. I think the point can be made pretty quickly. I did want to touch on a few observations. You can read the articles, get the links, and see more if you're interested. If you've never heard of it before, this is what's in the world, and this is what we have to face. We shouldn't have to, but we are, and that should be telling everybody a big thing. This also winds into, if they're telling people that are witnesses, they're killing those people or tying them up, then you know that we're in a bad way generally, and they don't want the truth out. Who's the ones not wanting the truth out? And are you free from them? Are you away from them? Are you able to get away from them? Likely, actually not. And this is, again, more proof we're not living in the free countries. The country's free, if you will. It's the people on it or not. The governments are free, but the people are not. And when you start getting your head wrapped around that, when they're reading these words and they're telling you that, you don't necessarily see that. You want to think better. We think better than what we actually should of these governmental institutions and agencies and people that are in the offices. But we really shouldn't anymore. They've taken advantage of that. And moving through again, consideration from Russell Texas Bentley. He's the gentleman that moved over to Donbass, fought over there for the militia, now is a Russian citizen, as he saw, and he says, generally, I would say, not his words, my words, he's fed up with what he sees the American West and freedom is. And he realizes it's a facade. And you see a lot of that in his work here. But a tale of two fates. And here's the other thing about, we point out what should have happened in the State Department. Now, a lot of people may not think of it as very important. And what the heck is the United States? But essentially, that is our outward facing look from the government and through the people. And the interaction between nations and allowing people of one nation to interact with another people, and that should teach something else too. But the State Department is that entity. Now, it's been weaponized as well, probably always has been, but now it's been weaponized against American citizens, is the point here. And we can see in Russell Bentley's discussion a tale of two fates, Gonzalo Lira versus Rafi Jabbar. We see what happens when a government does care about their people and does get involved. In mid-2020, Rafi took a trip back to Afghanistan as a private citizen, simply to visit his old home and look for friends and relatives. While he was there, he was arrested under suspicion of trying to recruit Afghan mercenaries to fight in Russia's PMCs. He was held by the Taliban for 27 days and never mistreated in any way, either by guards or prisoners. Putin himself was apprised of the situation, and having met Rafi before himself, the knowing of his story gave an immediate and very simple order: get him out and back to Russia. The Russian embassy contacted the Taliban administration and relayed the order from President Putin. The Taliban were told to get Rafi ready to go immediately and dispatch 6 cars of Russian Spetsnaz to the jail to pick Rafi up, which they did. Rafi waited at the embassy until his flight could be arranged, and when he got to the airport, Taliban representatives were waiting with gifts and well wishes, even taking selfies with Rafi, all hugging and smiling. Rafi is now back in Russia working. Compare this story to the horrific death of U.S. citizen Gonzalo Lira, held and tortured for months in Nazi captivity with nothing but the most depraved indifference from the United States government. The President of the United States, he could have and should have made a single phone call that would have gotten Lira immediately released, no more than any decent government would do to protect an innocent citizen jailed on bogus charges. But not only did the United States government, from Biden on down to the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, not make the call, they didn't do anything at all and allowed the Kiev regime to murder an innocent U.S. citizen with impunity. The whole purpose of any government is to provide the justice and security to its citizens. Some do and some don't. And it's perfectly clear who are the good guys and who are the bad guys and which is which. Think about it. What kind of government do you want to live under? And what kind of government do you have? And if your government is not the good guys, what are you going to do about it? And I think that last line got me about, yeah, what are we going to do about it, folks? We cannot, I don't, maybe some people believe this is good. We are the good guy. We're the White Hats, the United States of America. I hope over the last 10 years of you listening, you've found we're certainly not, we may not even be the gray hat. If we thought we were white, we may not even be a gray hat. And I'm not going to exalt Russia here because I've talked to you about all that other problem, but we have to look for our own. These are the representatives of us, and they've allowed one of us to die. And there's no difference, and this was, I thought, a neat example. And even on the other side, if you on the Russian side, if you will, the question becomes the same. If you're not the good guys, what are you going to do about it? Now, I have another link here from Telegram. I didn't have the time to decode it. I'm just going to read from it what happened to him in a recent study now, a recent report. Again, we'll have to, anybody who's interested can track this all down. I think someone needs to track it down and start to put a lot more pressure, get more people together. Again, this is us. We're citizens. We're citizens anywhere. If the government's going to mistreat us, I told you, if they're mistreating you out there, they're mistreating you at home. You just haven't been in the right spot for that to happen. But this is a Russian language telegram, and it's been reduced to some English. I can only hope that it's translated good. I didn't have a chance. I'll just read some of this to show you just how bad it was and how long it went on. And the United States did nothing. Further info on Lyra's death forwarded from a reliable source by Russian-German journalist Alina Lip. Quote, an American beaten to death in Kiev, pretrial detention center, is a special building controlled by SBU, was a victim of extortionists. The pretrial detention center employees and the SBU operative extorted $250,000 from Gonzalo for changing the preventative measures that they had imposed upon him. The vice counsel of the U.S. Embassy, who dealt with the problems of the Lyra citizen, was aware of the extortion and twice wrote a statement to the SBU and the OP. After this, the extortionists began demanding $500,000 for the transfer under recognizance not to leave the place. They wanted the funds encrypted to a monobank card belonging to an SBU employee. 3 days after the rate increase, Gonzalo turned to a lawyer and without waiting to meet with him, was killed. The ambulance crew recorded cardiac arrest and numerous burns on his body from stun gun. The U.S. Embassy is silent. Zelensky's office is silent. The SBU is ready to pay for the delivery of a 200 cargo to Poland, and that's all. Close the curtain. R.I.P. A 200 cargo is a dead body as cargo. That's the number designation in the war. That's what everybody refers to. So that was the latest information, what they were doing behind the scenes. And the United States just turned a blind eye. I guess they wrote some letters, didn't seem to matter much, and then no additional pressure was put. Another story here. And then I will be moving on to the other. Again, there's just so much in here. It's really a bit distressing when I look around the whole country and I don't see people recognizing the danger. This is one of those stories, those events that truly are evidencing the danger. We may think it's Gonzalo. You may not like the guy. I'm not even putting anything in this about that. He's an American citizen, was supposed to be protected by his government, and he wasn't. And then you look in America and you wonder why all our people are not being protected by our government, why they are inflame and divide us. And I've talked about the Civil War II scenario thing. That's what this thing is about. They don't intend to help us. We're going to have to start helping ourselves, and what we're going to do about it. It's a good question from somebody who was an American who's now a Russian. Still the same question, still the right thing to look at and the right thing to do. American journalist Gonzalo Lyra's death in Ukraine custody has indicated U.S. citizens are in danger under the Biden administration, Wall Street analyst Charles Ortel states, and I would say it's just the government. I don't know that it just diminishes our vulnerability to our own government. It's just diminished as an ebb and flow. I don't think it ever really goes away, but so this gentleman's opinion is a bit different. He names Biden administration. I don't know that it mattered. It could have been anybody's administration. And if we look, it could have been a Republican's administration. Remember, 9/11, the Patriot Act was all done underneath a Republican's watch. And you saw what they did with that, as we still see today. It goes on and on. So Charles Ortel states, Lyra's tragic death is a chilling reminder that Biden and Democrats are killing democracy inside and outside America right now, while gaslighting that Donald Trump may do so starting in January 2025. So he talks that, or he also identifies the democracy, but it's not. It's a republic. All that aside, he goes on to say, watching Zelensky suspend elections, jail his political opponents, suppress religion, and now allegedly torture and then cause an American journalist to rot and die in prison for questioning Biden-Newland war policies, one has to know that America's foreign policy are wholly inconsistent with our founders' ideals and arguably, in the case of Ukraine, especially impeachable offenses. The investigative journalist continued, Lyra's death is another in a long and continuing list of stains that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Antony Blinken had cast on America's once honorable belief in the freedom of expression. And remember that. This is just some guy in an apartment building talking against the government that, or just actually explaining what he was witnessing relative to between two governments, Russia and Ukraine, sitting in the in one of the governments that was in the fracas. And he understood the things I tell you. He understood where Ukraine and the West were wrong. He wasn't necessarily completely embracing Putin either, but he wasn't looking to bring up the truth about this condition underlying the Ukraine point as we see developing now outwardly, the corruption that's there and all that it uses. They're using it to foment all the things that go underneath. I mean, there's a whole lists and lists of things. Trafficking, child trafficking, arms dealing, drugs. Hunter Biden kind of throws that up a little bit. Yeah, regurgitates too. But anyway, so this is a big condition. He was sitting right in the middle of it. And he was outspoken. I have to say that when I first saw him being Chilean, he came from a well-to-do family. He described himself as aristocratic. And I can tell you when he said that, when he finally, words came out of his mouth, he goes, there it is. That's what he is. That's how he acts. That's his demeanor. He acts as an aristocrat. That's his upbringing. And so that may put people off, but I had to get a chuckle because I couldn't put my finger on what the air he assumes. And that was it. He knew exactly who he was and what he was playing. But he wasn't, I don't think he was deceptive or dishonest. I think he just wanted to let people to know. That's the witness that we need in the world. Relative to him, good, bad, or indifferent, that information is what we needed. I needed to hear some of what he said. And why? Because we got people we're listening to on the other side of the line talking in terms their witness, and guess what? You can start to put two and two together. That's the truth. They don't want these people, all these corruptible people that are in the business of being corruptible. That's what they don't want us to see. It takes a while, but those people know that there's going to be a final standing place where people say enough is enough, and they will do something about it. Russell Bentley's question, what are you going to do about it, becomes action. And periodically it flares up and takes action and continues and persists until it gets its way. And that's what I've been asking us to do, although in our occupations are very difficult to go through, especially when they're very secret and open. And that's the way they want. Actually, we're living in through almost a perfectly implemented and executed occupation. People don't even see it. That's when you read international law regarding this kind of subject matter. That's exactly what a successful occupier does. You don't even know it's happening to you. You won't walk into a place and, well, unless you do some study, they will cover up all their sins, if you will. And most, 99.9% of people will miss it. Until you become someone like myself and really start to study and see how they're actually covering it up and where they're missing it and what people are missing about that. And this is the thing I tell you about being able to identify a path, getting people to go down the path they think they want to go down, let them make that decision because they're the ones that have to walk that path, that journey, and try to show before we go down, oh, let's look down there, and then here's some information I don't have. You need to find that. But this is that path, and this is what you're going to look for in the deceptions, and you need to avoid some of those. Again, a lot of information you put in your pocket. Gonzalo Lira was very outspoken. That might have been a mistake. Well, it was a mistake. And he didn't take a lead. They gave him all his paperwork, and they said he needed to stay at his house. What I would have looked at, and most people have noticed, that he missed this, when he gave him all his traveling papers, and they said, you need to be in under house arrest, he should have left then. And he didn't. He waited till after they locked him down and said, you have all these conditions on you, you can't leave. They literally said that then, and then he tried. So that's what got him in real trouble. He wasn't too perceptive that way. But anyway, moving on here. moving into Ukraine, moving into how long the deception is going, the control has been attempted and made and done, and what we're missing that underneath the white hat of America, freedom and brave and all that, what's going on in order to control countries and peoples and territory. Part of me doesn't understand any of it, but by reading and studying, I understand pretty a lot more about that, but it's not, it's this, the worst of man, if you will, that I see and I understand about it. Partly that's why I'm a little bit more maybe set back in how to deal with this than maybe a lot of other people might say, oh, we got our Second Amendment. And maybe, I don't know. But here we have another, moving on now from Gondolier's death, but not from Ukraine, not from the control of the United States and how it works under the skin to contaminate, condemn places for geopolitical reasons, economic reasons, or whatever. Why might the United States government, relative to Gondolier, why might they have ignored him? Or maybe the United States didn't actually ignore him. They were listening very clearly. We can read through this title, CIA Undermining and Nazifying Ukraine Since 1953. So when you get into where, who killed the government, who killed Gonzalo Lira, and what he was exposing has deep roots, a lot deeper than even he, I think, maybe appreciated. I'll read the very top here, maybe cut through this document. You should get the link, read it, just to get a perspective. This is not just about Ukraine. This is about what the CIA does around the world. And I'm not aware enough to know whether or not CIA should stop. There's some pretty heinous things that go on with other governments, but we're not the white hat to make that. We're not the white hat, if you will, the beacon of freedom, the beacon of principle and moral standing to be a judge either, as we can clearly see what's going on in Palestine with the Zionista Federation put in place by the monarchy there. Just despicable. But here we have here the recent declassification of 3,800 documents by the Central Intelligence Agency provides detailed proof that since 1953, the CIA operated two major programs intent on not only destabilizing Ukraine, Nazifying it with followers of the World War II Ukrainian Nazi leader Stefan Bandera. Remember, Operation Paperclip sits here where the United States took on a bunch of Nazi scientists and officials and this, you know, officers to do this. And Putin's whole focus, and I told you, as soon as they came out and stated this, 1 week after I told you I didn't quite understand why they were attacking, when he stated this, it came crystal clear to me. They've been true to that so far. And I guess we can make lots of story around, oh, he's going to use that to expand, but that's not what they're doing. The CIA program spanned for four decades, starting as a paramilitary operation that provided funding and equipment to such anti-Soviet Ukrainian resistance groups as the Ukrainian Supreme Liberation Council, its affiliates, the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, and Ukrainian Insurgent Army, and all Nazi Banderists. So that was where we can start up when you start to read. British MI6 intelligence services were involved with the CIA. The CIA operations were operations to destabilize Ukraine using exile Ukrainian agents in the West who were infiltrated into Soviet Ukraine, which was codenamed Aerodynamic. And a top secret CIA document dated July 13, 1953 provides a description of Aerodynamic. We can go through all that. Then it moves on us up into the 1970s. The Aerodynamic placed field agents inside Soviet Ukraine who in turn established contact with Ukrainian resistance. So this is just going through. You can watch how the reports from declassified documentation shows how the CIA goes about. And I'm sure that all the governments do this when they have the ability. They get their people in and they start to try and overcome the original government, the existing government. And that, interestingly, is as long as you don't rile up the natives about that and you cause the change over time, at least plausibly legally, that's within international law. And this is why I find so subtle and so dangerous what's going on in the United States over decades and decades, longer of this program over Ukraine has been happening in the United States relative to things that we might snicker about Greta, but what she represents as a symbol is one of those very serious dangers that I talk about all the time. In fact, I focus a lot of attention on it, in part because of the dealings I've had with it inside our system. It's a literal cancer. They brought it in just like this document that you'll read, these documents, the same methodology. So it's important to read some of this stuff. I think this will be important for someone to follow through to see how does a government get taken down. If some of you might be interested in looking to the United States government and the state governments and maybe take some of the stuff I've been suggesting to go look at that stuff and see if it's not fits within these, generally within this model of influence and takeover of nations and countries. And again, it's the history, it goes on in history about all this. And we get down to maybe the last paragraph or so. But at the outset of the glasnost and perestroika, that gets us up into the 80s. In the mid-80s, things began to look bleak. There was another organization called CQR. Those of you of Q, that seems to be interestingly connected with the, and that letter seems to be interesting, connected to a lot of things the CIA did. QR Dynamic, the high cost of rent in Manhattan had it looking for cheaper quarters in New Jersey. They're now back in the United States with all this stuff. Assistant Secretary of State for the European Eurasia Affairs, Victoria Nuland, the baked goods bearing maiden of Madon, told U.S. Congress that the United States spent $5 billion to wrest control of Ukraine from the Russian sphere since the collapse of the Soviet Union. With the recent disclosure of the CIA, it appears that the price tag to the American taxpayer of such foreign shenanigans was much higher, and I think Gonzalo Lira's put that price tag into unacceptable. And before that, so history comes in through, we look at the history of how these things come along, and I got to tell you, I'm just totally oblivious to this stuff as a younger guy. I really believed in the American dream, wanted to just excel. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, chose what I wanted to become, doing oceanography. I wanted to do international business. And boy, those doors got shut really fast underneath the affirmative action. So then the realities start to come on. You could be blow a lot of smoke up your keister, but it's, you know, when you get in the real world, there's a whole other thing going on, and I wasn't prepared for much of it, so I've had to take a long time to start to see it. And as a lot of people do, they see that they've been lied to, they swing the other way. Hopefully I haven't just become a big pendulum and just swinging back and forth. Hopefully I'm trying to find the information that's going to make a better path. And I'm hoping so. They'll know that it's getting kind of late in my life that we're moving on, years and years, doing this broadcast for over a decade and a half. And moving on with that, hopefully continuing for a while longer. That there's not much movement. We're getting a lot of ruffled feathers at the population, but we're not really taking the action it takes. And as I said earlier on, getting and talking with people about their particular problem, there's steps that you must take, layers of understanding and assessment, and then action and then implementation. It's not so easy to understand it. But before all that 1953 stuff, we have how astoundingly deceived Americans' leading journalists are. I'm kind of prepping that. Yeah, me too. As one of the people in the United States, don't pay attention. We just know what our little blinders world is, and we think that's what it is. But found out through a couple of very life-shaking and shattering events dealing with the government that, I started to ask, where'd America went? Where'd it go? It's not what I thought it was. Here in this article, though, one of the most, before 1953, it goes on even earlier, one of the most respected journalists in America is Scott Simon, who is the program host on National Public Radio's Weekend Edition Saturday broadcast on the Saturday morning of 13 January 2024. Mr. Simon interviewed the East German and the about the Holocaust, and he said that he said to her at 6:22 in that segment's podcast, "East Germans didn't learn about the Holocaust the way the West Germans did. Would you say that would that be fair to say?" he asked. The respondent answered only, "No, I don't agree. Nothing was kept from us about that matter." On May 14, 2014, German Spiegel News magazine published in English, now this is long after World War II, quote, "Newly discovered documents show that in the years after World War II, former members of the Nazi Reichsmark and Waffen-SS formed a secret army to protect the country from the Soviets. The illegal project could have sparked a major scandal at the time." This is the thing I was telling you over and over again. We don't, as a population, we don't learn until 40, 50, 60 years, and most people are dead by then or near death and could care less. This is the thing of the problem when I started to see about Kennedy's death and all these other things that go on that we don't get to see the information. You heard the government tried to get 75 years on the Pfizer nonsense. Yeah, that's just like that. This is all ends up being the same methodology. So look for those models of execution. Reading here, most of the members of the Secret Reserve lived in southern Germany, Bavaria, home of the West Germans' leading political party, the Roman Catholic Christian Social Union Party, led by the Catholic Franz Josef Strauss, and a party ruled Germany along with the Protestant Christian Democratic Union Party, led by the Catholic Konrad Adenauer. Hitler, likewise, had been born and died a Catholic, and the Americans' President Truman chose to continue the far-right Catholic control over what became West Germany. Truman favored Catholics to control Germany and also cooperated fully with the Vatican in whipping up anti-communist sentiment in America, and he won his close 1948 presidential campaign largely because of heavy support from the Vatican's chief U.S. agent in America, Cardinal Spellman. Truman, Spellman, and the Pope worked as a team, and this is also is why both U.S. government and the Vatican protected the cooperated with the anti-Soviet Nazi leaders via the Vatican's rat lines, and America, in quotes, is called rat lines, what the Vatican provided. To move these people around as well, and Operation Gladio, and there is Operation Paperclip, both set up by Truman so as to build, after World War II, a U.S. and Nazi team to conquer the Soviet Union so that the U.S. government would conquer the entire world. So here we are, a warmongering country, but you see the connection, you see the Vatican's not, the Pope's not so infallible, and I've been talking. Then he jumped over into the sustainability nonsense, and I told you that's a cancer inside this country, the United States of America. It's a cancer everywhere, actually. For my understanding and my experience, I'll speak this limited, although I know it goes on and on. And why I'm very critical of someone who's called infallible, that far from it, all the time, over for years. And so that's not the only focus here, but you see who's involved. People who purport themselves to be doing moral and principled things are not. And if everybody would remember, if those of you that look, we see the Vatican representatives with Hitler in public. So we have from what, remember, now we have a Catholic sitting again. Well, it was in Kennedy as well, but right now we have a Catholic sitting in President Biden right in Ukraine and his son and all this stuff. It seems like never goes away. From one Nazi regime to the present, here we have, as they just changed what their names are. Types of people are the same, and journalists here aren't the only ones to suffer from telling the truth in their witness. Why our witnesses are so important, if you can survive it. Again, why I say I'm just fortunate. Everybody who's looked at child services and found out that it was child trafficking underneath the auspices and payment of the federal government, when I was doing that I started to see that in 2003, started to try and do a documentary. Everybody I know since then, and I got collected up, I got beat up a little bit, I escaped. Like I said, the lizard had to lose a little bit of his tail in order to do that, otherwise I wouldn't probably be here now. But there's nobody that's alive that found that out. I'm one of the few, and I think it's because I didn't have much more than my documentary evidence that was in one place in a public facility, PEG access. I didn't have much more to go on, so I think that might have saved me in a way. But these people are, if you're a witness to something and it's a major corrupt organization, you can be sure somebody's going to be collecting you up at some point. Not a fear thing. You really have to start paying attention, really calculate what you think you're going to do, and don't think you know so much ahead of time of what's going on. But reading here, not just journalists, anybody who's a witness, well, truth teller, if you will, they tell them their truth. Hopefully, their witness is good, and we have to qualify that by other witnesses is how we do that as we move along. Here we're reading this. It is a time of witch hunts in Israel. Teacher held in solitary confinement for posting concern about Gaza deaths. Now, within my upbringing, that being concerned for people was a good thing, but not anymore. An unlikely charge of intent to commit treason landed at Meir Baruchin, a gray-haired, softly spoken history and civics teacher in solitary confinement wing of Jerusalem's notorious Russian compound prison in early November. The evidence compiled by police who handcuffed him, then drove to his apartment and ransacked it as he watched, was a series of Facebook posts he made mourning the civilians killed in Gaza, criticizing the Israeli military and warning against wars of revenge. Also, you think that someone who warns of a danger would be pretty well embraced a bit for that warning. But not anymore. The horrific images are pouring in from Gaza. Entire families were wiped out, quote, is quoted here. He says, I don't usually upload pictures like this, but look what we do in revenge, said a message in 8 October below a picture of the family of Abdu Daka killed in one of the first airstrikes in Gaza. Quote, anyone who thinks this is justified because of what happened yesterday should unfriend themselves. I ask everyone else to do everything possible to stop this madness. Stop it now. Not later. Now. 10 days after the Facebook message, he was fired from his teaching job in Petach Tikva municipality. Less than a month later, he was in a high-security jail detained to give police more time to investigate critical views he had never tried to hide. Again, free speech doesn't exist with these people. It's not protected there. It's not going to be protected in you. Some of you don't already know that. Some of you believe it, so you do whatever you think you're going to do, but it's not stopping this pervasive global evil on the world. It's not the word is not out yet to most people that it can continue. It's done with impunity, as the first article said, as they have killed another journalist, Gonzalo Lira. They give him the title of journalist. I'll go with it. He did a video. It's an Autolist. That's agreed to be someone who's in the press. So I don't want to get fast. I don't want to get lost in someone to say, oh, this is a euphemistic argument. No, these are considered people of journalism. They're telling their report. Now, Inside Israel veteran journalists, intellectuals, and rights activists say that there is a little public space for dissent about the war in Gaza, even 3 months into the offensive that has killed the 23,000 Palestinians and has no end in sight. Quote, make no mistake, Barukin was used as a political tool to send a political message. The motive for his arrest was deterrence, silencing any criticism or any hint of protest against Israeli policy, the long-established Haaretz newspaper said in an editorial. I'm going to return us to Gonzalo Lira, exactly what that was, and then I showed you why. There's a possibility why, attached to that 19 CIA documents, why they would not look at him, why the United States would not protect him. He is not the only teacher to be targeted. Authorities also summoned Yael Ayalon, headed of the Tel Aviv High School, after she shared Haaretz's article warning the Israeli media was hiding the suffering of Gaza's civilians. Israeli citizens need to be aware of this reality, the piece said. So I'm going to say, dear Americans, remember Gonzalo Lira. You don't have to like Lira, but Lira is you. Whenever you see in these notices I've just read, it says, make no mistake, Barukin was used as a political tool to send a political message. The motive for his arrest was deterrence, silencing any criticism or any hint of protest against Israeli policy. That will be any government's policy. Though, my listener, those of you that will dare to criticize are potentially Meir Barukin, Julian Assange, Gonzalo Lira, and so you have to be aware of this. More aware than Lira was, I think. And don't be that example. Get behind the woodshed. I tell you, limit your jeopardy, limit your vulnerability. Doesn't mean you have to be quiet. It doesn't mean you have to you don't want to be waving a big red flag in front of a bull. But here in the story, there's an epilogue to that episode. As we see, this story is much bigger than my personal story or Yael's personal story. He writes, it is a time of a witch hunts in Israel of political persecution. Not prosecution here, persecution. I even have a title of a broadcast with it a long while back. He said here, I became a Hamas supporter because I expressed my opposition to targeting innocent civilians. He was interrogated again before a second judge ordered his release, Questioners told him his posts were like the protocols of the elders of Zion among the most famously anti-Semitic documents in the world. Quote, I'm a history teacher, so I asked, did you ever read them? They didn't respond. And I'm going to say, go back to the blogcaster, that document, a link to the document is in the bottom of my blogcaster, and it isn't anti-Semitic. You need to go read it. I told you got to read it without the politics attached to it. I'm pausing here. When I saw that story there, and this is a history teacher, and he's saying, go look, and this starts the Zionist Federation. And they talk like they do, the chosen people. I don't talk about the chosen one in the Bible. I'm talking about this political chosen. They can do no wrong, and no one can stop them. On the authority of a history teacher, if not, the guy behind the woodshed here, go read that document. We get behind the woodshed here, what do I say on my little tag, the documentary of our times, the historic past, its lessons for us today and into the future, presented every Sunday, noon o'clock Pacific, all these years. There is an element in the world that knows us better than ourselves. And when you get cut through the nonsense politics, the Semitic part. Remember, Zionist Federation is anti-Semitic. They're killing Semites in the Palestinians. They're killing their own underneath the Hannibal protocols. Really have to clear up this fog that's in our brain and look with better eyes and learn to discern. And it's going to take a lot of work to get us back up to where we need to be. And if you think it just happens in Israel or Ukraine, democracy here, no. In America, your speech is trained into you to be the speech like in the future that they want, as we can read and move into the United States. Kentucky, you know, we all want to fly that flag of free speech and all this, and a lot of us, again, listeners by my woodshed will already be shaking your shoulder and know, you know, we have a problem. But that doesn't mean we have to abandon that power, because that is a power, and that's the first thing occupiers need to condemn. And we can see it right here in the United States. U.S. court bars student from wearing two gender shirt. The Massachusetts 7th grader school forbade him from wearing the garment and a censored version mocking its decision. Total silencing. Not quite as bad as Lyra, but for a young one like this, pretty close. The Massachusetts District Court denied a request on Wednesday from the lawyer of the 12-year-old student seeking to exercise his free speech rights by wearing a t-shirt reading, there are only two genders. The protected speech is not protected. Hate speech is one way determined by your oppressor. The LGBTQ is, in preference to two genders, is hateful conduct driven by abuse and mental illness, from my perspective, behind the woodshed. And yet it gets protected. That gets protected to one's own private use of their own thoughts as well in communicating them. Now, I talked last week, is this T-Mobile's hate speech fine policy I spoke about last week any different, actually? If we're watching what we thought was the free speech, even around the world, it's slowly being changed. That's affecting your teaching, your little ones, your thought, their action, their behavior ultimately. This is what the future that they want. They want your behavior adjusted and changed. If you keep looking, even on the supposed P.T. Barnum-promoted free speech sanctuary, evidence of this establishment killings of their own here, of the future, of a thousand cuts, looking into the X. We have the title, X Drugs Politics, What's Behind the Latest Attack on Elon Musk? Again, these are all psychological warfare programs, I think, running. I haven't been too excited about Elon Musk. He had bring some excitement in his innovation, not his, but what somehow someone showed him how to get what he wants. He becomes the most wealthy, so-called wealthy, in debt, man of the world, and a lot of people he's in charge of to produce things that are kind of neat, not necessarily so smart. Or so intelligent. They're all smart. That's the problem. They're not so intelligent. They're not so as far-reaching, actually. But he wants to go to Mars. That's certainly not far enough. And why? But anyway, everyone has their own goals, and that's great. That part I like in him. But when he shows up in X, and then now it's being attacked, seems to be more of theater. But it's also the same attack on, if you will, journalism, on speaking anybody's mind, whether it's the truth or not. Just the ability to freely speak is being attacked, and this outspoken tech billionaire is the embodiment of both America's main problem and its main founding principle, as we read in this article. Billionaire tech entrepreneur, space visionary, and the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, may be wrong about any number of things, but he and many observers are certainly right about one thing. A recent Wall Street Journal article detailing allegations about his use of drugs was a hit piece. One dead giveaway was the astonishingly weak sourcing, and a conservative-leaning polling and media company Rasmussen Reports was correctly noted. The Wall Street Journal, one of the most important newspapers in the United States, has relied on what can only be described as a large heap of hearsay. It's big, but hollow. Boy, you know, I always talk about the rules of evidence. And what is hearsay, what's not. And when you're dealing with governments, and how you break this down. And here we're doing that same analysis relative to this issue with Musk. Musk's response has been threefold. He has lashed out at the Wall Street Journal, denouncing it for essentially stooping to a yellow press level. He has a point. Beyond that, on the one side, he and his lawyer, Alex Spiro, have denied the allegations as false. On the other, Musk has argued that, in principle, using drugs makes sense if it increases productivity. Among adults, the message should be pretty clear. Musk defends himself in legal terms, and he would share values, contracts, and security clearances could be at stake, while also signaling that whatever drugs he may be taking are no one's business. And I want to interject, too, finding out more about the psilocybin mushrooms helping veterans and anybody with mental health issues, and not knowing really what the source are, but finding out that they do help. This is a matter for for people to make a decision on their own. And again, this is being one of those things that, as long as you don't affect someone else, there really shouldn't be any scrutiny. It doesn't need to be publicized either. We keep reading here. So far, so expectable. You can agree or disagree with the billionaire's position on his use or not of various alleged substances, including LSD and psychedelic mushrooms, but that is not what is most interesting here. The more intriguing question is what is being behind the attack, and why is it happening now? Musk has many fans. His business acumen, ingenuity, his sheer obstinacy, that's a compliment, are special. He also has, for better or worse, genuine, if peculiar, charisma. But, full disclosure, I am not a fan. For one thing, I profoundly disagree with what may well be his single worst decision in his life, namely to pay a PR visit to Israel while it is committing genocide against Palestinians. And you know my position on all that. I made a whole two broadcasts in part about this. I don't agree fully here with the author, even so, in his attempt to balance Musk's stances, or in particular where the author includes himself with those reasonable. For instance, where it says, put differently, he says, this author writes, Musk and others, fully disclose again, this author included, were right to call for a compromise peace early. Ukraine would not have been worse off than now, but probably better, and a fewer people would have died. Making reasonable peace proposals when no one felt like listening was not Musk's only sin with respect to the Ukraine war. Remember, he was condemned by Ukraine for it. But I looked at that and said, I don't agree with any of that. There is no reasonable peace proposal to suggest other than Russia had the right to protect pursuant to its agreements with the West, its positions. So there's no peace proposal. They attempted to do that in negotiations before they were forced to go into Ukraine to protect themselves from the very Nazism that they are working to eliminate, that the United States and the CIA had been working into Ukraine since 1953, it appears, by documentation to be going on. And so these luminaries here had any standing at all even to discuss this is probably as an insult. To call here for a compromise none of these folks have the right to talk about standing the peace proposal. They're not involved. They have no privity. It's the same thing about a property right. There's a call for compromise to impose that upon Putin or Russia to offer or agree with. That's totally outside of their right to do so. I don't agree with either one of these folks now relative to all this story, but this is how you have to try to start to analyze this. And this story is a setup as well, a little bit, relative to what's going on in the explanation. Remember, you can be told and explain something that's not correct to get you off of what is really going on as well. So here you heard about this condition that no one else has the privity from me. You hear about it in property all the time. It's critical to only allow those involved in the agreement to participate. To that end, you also have the people who are have participated are limited by what they agreed to. And this is all Russia has been ever saying. And so this is why that was the start when they eliminated that. That's when the special operation started. And so they also write here, it's not fashionably laid here, under a perception where he writes, one key point of Musk's position in the fall of 2022 has been now become, if not mainstream, then at least acceptable. But I just said they don't have right to even put it forward. Here, keep reading here. Back then, he was roundly condemned for arguing that Russia should keep Crimea and Ukraine should choose neutrality. As this author attributes to Musk, and parenthetically to himself, they don't have a right. So he's trying to exalt what he thinks he can see and be a judge of Musk, but he's throwing himself in with Musk, and none of these folks have a right. He wants to be this luminary. Why is he doing this now? Why does he wait until fall of 2022, this Musk as well? What was apparent in February of 2022. So there's a lot of backslapping here and condemnation in a way to bring a different type issue. But back to a point here, to discredit an oppressor here, even as Musk is competition. He's in competition with these people. These folks, he is developing the future they want. I've said this over and over about X, what this is going on, the everything that he wants it to be, what he pushes, the smart technology, sustainable things. That's other areas and other issues. But his view is in competition with their view and how they're going to get it done. And they will eat their own is what we're seeing, why I think this is going on. And be tortured maybe to death, like Gonzalo Lira, for the fact that we now know that corporations are people too, as ex-Twitter may suffer, and this appears to be a transforming definition of democracy, despite the republic people were to keep. You understand direct democracy is right in here. That has to do with communication. They want to say everyone gets a voice, but that's all it is. It's kind of like voting without being an elector. That's what a democracy seems to be running on relative to sustainability. And so you need to control the narrative, if you will. With a critical mind, this article offers more insights, some of which I'm condemning a bit, but that's the point. You got to read through this stuff and be able to analyze it. It gives yourself some insight. And I think my listener should be interested to familiarize yourself with these techniques. It's what I use. It's what I go around. It helps me to try to put deception in its place, essentially, and get through it a little bit better. And before I move on the journalist's part in this free speech and being victimized by like your own nation, I was talking about Graham Phillips here. Quickly, they already have a decision, and I want to get that through before I move on too far. Graham Phillips, journalist, reports on his own case here, the government economics and other sanctions of his reporting on the Donbass situation in Ukraine and Russia. They didn't kill him in Britain, but they definitely found against him, where he writes, deeply disappointed the High Court decision today to do away with the rule of law and the freedom of speech in the UK. I shall fight on, but both my work from Donbass and for freedom of speech in the UK And he says, I have communicated more fully with Peter Hitchens of the Mail, notwithstanding the differences of view of certain subjects. He has supported me on this from day one. So this is where, again, you cannot agree with someone, but you can agree in the principle of being defeated by the government, which is, again, a journalist in trying to say something, and then they sanction you, they penalize you, they punish you, they keep you from your economy, your bank accounts, and defame you, is what the governments would do. It's like a civil death is what they've done to him. He can breathe another day different than Lyra. And then on that response, we're back to Russell Texas Bentley and his reporting. He reports now for Sputnik International News, and he observes a black day for justice on this whole point. Freedom of speech and the rule of law, or what was left of them, in the UK. The Kangaroo Court found against my friend journalist Graham Phillips in London, deciding that the law is whatever they want it to be, and the Crown can punish anyone they want for anything they want, anytime they want. And it's an ugly sight. Good luck, Graham. At least they didn't throw you in the tower or cause you to be Lyra. And my thoughts turned immediately on that. I mean, you've almost heard me say the same thing relative to how we're being treated. The law is what they say it is. And that's why a lot of people shrug their shoulder and chuckle when I say, you know, start going to the black and white. I don't use their law. I'm using the law they can't use. And that's the subtle difference people, I don't think, get when they laugh. They wonder about what I'm saying. But my thought will turn right again to Julian Assange. Again, these UK, what kind of justice is he going to be expected to get? It can't be that they're going to be using the law, and they don't. There's another example here. So what about anybody else that's witnessing reality to the world? Yeah, this is a real problem. Before I go on too much further, I've been told that I kept forgetting. After I told you I was going to try it, it's real hard to do. This is BTWRLM 560. If you've come in just after the hour, I don't know if this is. I can't know that before I start talking about all these things. But I'm guessing here a little bit, probably a little bit off, a little bit long. But you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. I just want to tag that in. So if you jump in the top of the hour, and I've done it one time now, the first time after I told you that you now know where the total, if you missed the rest of it, jump in after the first hour, you know what this episode is. You can get the beginnings of it and track it down. So I don't know if I can do that more often. I will try. I always try, but it's just not the right stuff. So moving on here through that, the Pentagon program hunts those who embarrass its generals. There was a story here a couple weeks ago. I haven't quite got to it. But this is really more in line to what's going on today. The occupiers are going to protect their own. They're going to eat their own if it makes if it advances the pinnacle's point. They will make it look like they're eating their own if you believe it, and it advances that point. And this is why there's so many lines of control going on that we need to really have a different mind about what we're looking at here in the world. And it's here, and so it's just not a hate, as we talked about. Remember, Pentagon was going to get down to the hate. It's not just hate. The T-Mobile. It's not just about the hate. They will defend that gets defined for you. It's also about embarrassment of all things. A new system is capable of pinpointing the exact location of anyone who could cause reputational damage to its charges. When you read that, should terrify you relative to what I've been talking about, what's going on in this world, and what you find about Gonzalo Lyra, what they've done to anybody, the teachers, as you see in that one story, academics, the engineers, whatever, whoever will speak out in truth of the reality witness that they're seeing, that tries to cut through the noise. It will be a target by these people. Now we're seeing again the military. Again, there's a constant going on here with these folks. A secretive division of the Pentagon is now tasked with protecting its high-ranking officials, not only from assassination and also from bodily harm, but also from negative portrayals on social media, according to procurement documents. The document describes the program as a reliable social media threat mitigation service with an open-source web-based toolkit with advanced capabilities to collect publicly available information beyond the data from Twitter's firehose Fortran, Reddit, YouTube, VK, Discord, Telegram, and the like. PAI also includes a wealth of commercially acquired information from surveillance firms and private contractors like Data Miner, all other data brokers, and unscrupulous smartphone apps and advertisers. And remember, folks, they make stuff up, whether you are an illegal immigrant or whether you're an American in the open-air prison. That first paragraph, that tag just terrified me, knowing what we're dealing with these folks, and watching them, understanding they had just allowed Lyra to die because it may have exposed something that they've been working on forever and all the time. And Russia's on that. See, that's the other thing. What's interesting is no one's outed what Russia's doing, and that's almost a scary problem in another way, if we're looking to protect ourselves as well. So here the military is including the cops, if you understand the Lincolnization of America. They make up stuff too, right? So they make stuff up. And we have the story here when generals embarrass themselves, a top-ranking U.S. general spooked by Trump comment. You see, there's no law, there's no respect anymore. This is what's interesting me about all this. Milley has repeatedly defended his call to China behind Trump's back, arguing that he never tried to circumvent the president's authority. He reportedly spoke to Chinese General Li Xiaocheng and other foreign military leaders to help allay fears that Trump might try to spark war as his term was wound down. This is an old story, but remember, I just started a record. I just reported that the military is now looking to anybody that may embarrass Milley, now a general, ex-general, the military, and Trump has already done that. And now we see this issue that Trump's all involved in, 91 felonies, all this stuff. To me, it's pretty fascinating, if nothing else, to look through and watch things coming down. And I think if you are serious about all this stuff we're watching, and have any thought that we're going to do something to protect ourselves, disregarding this type of a thing here is going to be a fatal error. That's all I'll say about that. There's no more to say until people start really having to roll their sleeves up and deal with it. But he also assured then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that safeguards were in place to prevent Trump from launching a nuclear attack. I think those are already in place, so this is another kind of a story. But what about... So what about here, the embarrassing the military in and out of its the vector for the novel disease at warp speed, as in the great Covey swindle? What about those of us that were doing that? What about those of us in the future that are able to embarrass? And so I'll tell you, it's about embarrassment. I've told you this all the time. The courts, until you put the pressure on them and get them to be embarrassed by their decision, it's getting harder and harder. When you see the courts don't care, then you know you're going to be in real trouble. But what here? Now we've lowered the bar to embarrassment. The military is going to come in and protect itself. Don't underestimate that the districts that are called states today under Lincolnization, all the government officials are military. They're just civil, but the military is behind them. And under international law, that's how the military sets up a control for the people. And you look at that civil government, you can't tell that it's not actually an organic government until they start messing up and you know it. So don't understand when I'm bringing this along. Don't underestimate the lowering of the bar when the power gets involved. And then you see what happened to Trump for quite a few reasons, and this is maybe one of them. Look at that as a function and execution of plans that are already in the works. They're not something coming. They're already here. And so we're having... By Elon Musk, the death by a million cuts coming after him by all these different directions. He becomes the poster boy for what we think is what you shouldn't do, when in fact he's actually promoting what they want in a way. You get involved in that as a battle, and it's not really true. We move from the million cuts to death by a billion jabs. The military philanthropists and pharma. The pharmaceutical complex now, as we read, the United States government is actively searching for new sources of funding for military biological research from leading American philanthropic institutions, including Clinton, Soros, Rockefeller, and Biden Foundation's RCB troops chief Igor Kirillov has announced. Remember, there were Germans, the Russians went in the, when they were going to stop these Nazism, and they found those U.S. Bio labs and a lot of information, and now they've been scrutinizing it. But I want to point here, remember here, that Soros, and I didn't get to read through it, but go back and read that undermining the Nazification, Nazifying of Ukraine since 1953. Soros is involved with the CIA in that document as well. We see it now mentioned here by the military. The consistency is the, I don't even know what the words are. In a way, it's, I want to say scary, but it's not scary either. This is a serious connection going through history with these folks. And you start wondering, well, why wasn't the Kennedy papers put out? Probably things like this. The underlying of that we don't, all the things we don't know about. But here, Soros is mentioned here. Soros is mentioned in the 1953 document. And based on, it says here, based on analysis of documents received in the course of a special military operation, the structure of the system created by the United States administration for the global management of biological risks has become clear, Kirillov said. Quote, it consists of government agencies and private contractors, including representatives of Big Pharma, through the organs of the executive branch, organized, you have organs, a legislative framework is being created to finance military biological research directly from the federal budget. Guarantees provided by the state attract funds from non-governmental organizations controlled by the Democratic Party leadership, including the Clinton, Rockefeller, Soros, and Biden foundations, Kirillov said. Keep the connection to the people here and understand what they've put on us in the last few years. We don't have to wait here for any UN Secretary General's mechanism for investigating the biological weapons, as we would have, we hear the story here closed with that. The he says that the Kirillov says we have said repeatedly that the work of American military biologists is aimed at the creation of the artificially controlled epidemics. And that is, it is not controlled within frameworks of Biological Weapons Convention, nor the Secretary of General's mechanisms for investigating the use of biological weapons. So these are guys are circumventing the whole and entire thing of the UN. If we ever thought that had any purpose, this just shows it's a big circumvention. And so you go through this article that Kirillov is pointing out, all these informations and the different projects that have been put on to move different pathogens forward to, that the Pentagon is doing. Within this, a ton of stuff to read in this little this little report about the United States seeking funds from all these, you know, Clinton and Soros foundations and Rockefellers and all this, right involved, just the suspicion everybody has coming to bear. This is not something that we can really look away from. There's a whole lot of information to be had. The, remember that the biology that they're finding, the weapons systems is also to soften up the targets here as well, to accept what's coming. And this is coming in the next report that came out. This came out last week. I couldn't get to it. Just so much to get to. But maybe better here this week. But we don't have to wait for the UN Secretary General's mechanism to investigate biological weapons. I told you the law of the United States, 18 U.S.C. Section 175. You also have Title 50. Look for the exceptions to biological weapons and chemical weapons and all these other things. They have to have an exception or they're prohibited. They don't. This is what was Covey Swindle was about. They have to prepare our bodies to receive the future that they want, if you will, the chemistry, the antagonist, the pathogen, that becomes more of a controlling circuit in us, or killer as well. It's not just to make automatons here, but we then hear this. Chinese scientists reveal experiments with virus that's 100% fatal to mice. And this, partly you say, okay, it's mice, but what they did inside the mice, what they're pulling from a mice that's applicable to people is what the scary part about it is. Scientists in China, again, the go-to heinous government, China, experimenting, we found out it wasn't experimenting over there at all. It was experimenting in the United States and handed to them. Experimenting with a coronavirus related to the virus that causes COVID-19 found that it had a 100% kill rate in a small mouse study, according to researchers. I won't go through all the fraud in that statement relative to what causes and there was no virus and all this, but let's keep moving because they're using something else. And they went and they did something else. And you have to keep track of how they're doing this. The scientists included a doctor trained by the Chinese military, cloned a Pangolian coronavirus and infected modified mice to assess the pathogenicity, they said in a reprint paper published in BioRxiv. Of the four mice infected with the virus, all began to lose weight within 5 days post-infection. Shortly thereafter, they exhibited symptoms including sluggishness and wide eyes. The four mice died within 8 days of inoculation. Researchers described the results as surprising. Researchers then infected 8 additional mice, euthanized them, and selected organs from 4 to analyze. High levels of viral RNA were found in various organs, including the brain, lungs, and eyes. While the viral load in the lungs decreased, by the 6th day, it increased in the brain. This finding suggested that the severe brain infection during the later stages of infection may be the key to cause death in these mice, the scientists said. It's surprising they don't know, actually. But here we have the experiments were on a mutant strain of the Pangolian virus known as GXP2V, short underscore 3UTR. And this mutant strain is the key to understanding what they're doing. Let me read in the study just shortly, just to give the abstract. I can't go through all this. I've touched all this stuff before, except now we're seeing the next iteration. Everyone's promoting Disease X. There is no Disease X. It's just the name for all diseases, the endless diseases they're going to be bringing upon us. And so I located the link for the study for you. You might want to read. It says lethal infection of human ACE2 transgenic mice caused by SARS-CoV-2 related Pangolian coronavirus GXP2V. The Pangolian is somewhat like an armadillo, but thinner looking, longer. Anyway, that's a kind of a neat little creature. It curls up just like an armadillo. But reading here the abstract, SARS-CoV-2 related Pangolian coronavirus, GXP2V, can cause 100% mortality in human ACE2 transgenic mice, potentially attributed to the late-stage brain infection. This underscores the spillover risk of GXP2V in humans and provide a unique model for understanding the pathogenic mechanisms of SARS-CoV-2-related viruses. Understand SARS-CoV-2 as a lipid protein construct. This is what they just get up to, the very important part, ACE2, human ACE2 transgenic. What they did is they take this mutant strain, they tortured this little thing that they had to change itself, and they allowed it to change and affect the human ACE2 receptor. That allows its entry into people, otherwise it won't do it. So this is what I was telling you, that's become something that may be real. We'll finally get it to the point where it is a deadly thing, and we've got to be careful about that. But this is what's serious about this. They take a mutated, they cause and did and rechange this GX till the ones that survived were also able to go into the ACE2 receptor. That's what the synthetic bioweapon did. It would have attached itself to there. And so, but I have I don't describe it quite as effectively, I'm sure, but just to give you an idea, give you some links, if you're interested, go look. You need to be familiar. You need to be able to, in case they bring stuff out, you need to be able to cut through the noise of it, as I told you a long time ago, before 2020 started. But I have a link through cryptogon.com that came through to Dr. John Campbell that touches on the subject matter probably a bit more completely. But essentially stating the very same thing. If you'd like to hear him, go ahead and get that link, and he'll give you some more links to it. And so the work is not just on a virus. It's not zoonotic transfer that's going on. They're actually making it so that mice has this ACE2 receptor like people do. And so they got it to work on the mice so they can get the ACE2 receptor condition acceptable in the humans. That's how they're going to get it into people. So this is a lot more dangerous than just having, let's say, these lipid proteinization as I was saying, the venom that they create, structure that they create in a lab that synthesizes and gets into the body. This actually allows that thing to attach to that H2 receptor, which is the dangerous part in connection to us. And understand, you know, the coronavirus that they set up and the lipid venom went after our nervous system and into our brain. So this is a more refined thing. And so I want to remind you again, as I've already covered, they have to prepare the target for future receptivity. That's what this last Chinese thing seems to be doing. And so I have some more proof here that's going on. They're injecting an ACE2 receptor type modus into people that we can read here. The COVID vaccines integrated into human DNA, which I didn't find a problem. I mean, a question, because that's what the RNA does. The RNA instructs the human, the cell, to create the DNA in the function of its function. That's what messenger mRNA is. Messenger RNA instructs the body to make the DNA, and it's a hybrid DNA. Once wants to deny it's not human DNA. Well, it's a hybrid DNA. It's the precursor to when they start making the stuff, and then it starts going around the body. But we have this study. We can read a little bit more here in the summary. Again, all just touching base, just the surface. A study of humans suffering from long COVID analyzed through cellular DNA. The authors unexpectedly found genes uniquely specific to the Pfizer COVID vaccine in human blood cells. This finding proves the mRNA COVID vaccines permanently integrate into the DNA of some COVID vaccinated people. I found that statement very interesting. Some COVID vaccinated people. So some of us are the already prepared to resist. And I would be interested to see if there's going to be a follow-up for those, just on this whole point about being made receptive. A newly published study analyzed human DNA isolated from volunteers' blood samples. Authors looked for matches between blood cells' DNA and genetic sequences unique to the COVID vaccine BNT162b2. After using sensitive tests, scientists found genes that could only come from the Pfizer COVID vaccine in genomes of blood samples analyzed. So here we are back to the software for life, folks. As a zombie, the software of a private copyright becomes identifiable in your bodies through these cells as well. I want to remind you of that. This wasn't really a surprise. Someone's been talking about it now. All these years later. And right on the point of what they're doing. See, people are trying to deny that there's this DNA that's made, but that's what the messenger does. It signals to the body to make a hybrid DNA, attaches itself, and the body copies the message, the RNA, the ribonucleic acid, over to the DNA. And then it combines it, like zippers it together, and then it moves it on to the next stage in the cell. And we've heard of the problem. So then we find from the Pfizer, I talked about this, and we know about this. People know about this. You cause disease, and then you make the medicine to cure it so that you can sell lots of medicine. And so how sustainable do we have this military pharmaceutical complex working? Post-COVID heart failure pandemic, they're calling possible, Japan researchers point out here, after contracting COVID-19. Remember, COVID-19 is just those symptoms. They're not contracting anything. They're contracting, possibly they're responding, their body, the symptoms are responding, their immune system responding to a venom, a protonated compound, a lipid-coated protonated compound. In fact, Dr. John Campbell, actually, I think he says that too, that there's like three or four different types of material we're dealing with here. So patients may have higher risk of heart failure from persistent viral infection in their hearts, even without developing the notable heart disease, according to the study results announced by Japanese researchers on December 23rd. The team included researchers from Reiken, Japan's largest scientific institute, pointed out the possibility of a heart failure pandemic in the near future and is stressing the need for countermeasures. And what kind of sustainable countermeasures might come out of this? And before I move on, they really don't have the right to call it a pandemic, a heart failure pandemic, unless they're projecting a global thing here, and the WHO recognized it, because pandemic is a private word defined by the WHO. However, heart failure pandemic is a serious thing. It's a global condition. And what kind of global sustainability, what kind of countermeasures can we do that are sustainable to the military pharmaceutical industry. Pfizer to make billions on treating heart failure. Pandemic is the next article you can find. Pfizer to make billions here. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. It's pharmaceutical. Forget the P's are silent, aren't they? Giant Pfizer has just invested billions of dollars into treatments of the looming heart failure pandemic they caused. Pfizer, the same company that sold you the so-called vaccines, is making a big bet on the next heart failure pandemic. How many times are they going to say this? Just drive it home, folks. The pharmaceutical giant recently acquired several companies. This includes a major $6.7 billion cash acquisition of Arena Pharmaceuticals and a firm specializing in developing treatments, particularly for heart inflammation conditions like myocarditis and pericarditis. The company is expected to make tens of billions of dollars in profits from the spike in heart failure. So the company that caused the heart damage is now looking to profit from heart damage. So we have now, we see the Zionista allied global genocide for profit here, if we look, and it seems to me. When you look, what do you see, my listener? What are you looking out and seeing other than that? That'd be interesting to see what I'm missing. And just in time for those that do depart here through all this, because they really didn't treat anything more than their pocketbook and got it fat. Cost of dying at record high in the UK. We talk a little bit about the suffering of the UK people, the Britons. There's one more study here that came along. Your costs of dying are going up. Between the cost of burial and cremation, just in time too, isn't it? The price of a memorial service, the expenses like legal fees, and the cost of dying hit an average of £9,600. That's $12,000 in the UK. Last year, the report stated, this represents an increase of £458 since 2022 and is the highest such figure ever recorded by Sun Life. In 2023, the average funeral cost of £4,000, 4.7% more than in 2022 and up from only £1,800 in 2004. With the prices rising, the report noted that more and more Britons are opting for cheaper funerals. No matter what kind of funeral someone chooses, a growing number of people are finding it hard to pay for their own departure, with 45% having to rely on their families to make up some of the costs. And this is another part of that plan. You go down through the family to take their wealth as well. The TUC trade union warned last week that the real wages will not return to their 2008 levels until at least 2028. So they already know, they already got it planned out how your austerity is going to work. And this is not just in UK. I'm bringing this up just to point out it is focused over in the UK. They've been really hit hard. Food went up like 20% for a while. Now it's like 8%. But here, even when the cost of dying, you can't even die cheap anymore. Maybe never, but here, it's going up really quick. And now I hear someone's going to do private commerce. They're going to bury you on the moon. Like we need to make more waste and dirt somewhere else. I don't know. But moving in on someone else that might escape departing here, despite what he's costing families. On the other side of the pond, here in the United States, Speaker Johnson facing the same threats as McCarthy, the same circus here, different clown. As we move this through, again, it's an economic war against all of us. Russia figured that out, and China did too. And now they've got a whole coalition of people that's going to do it on their own. And I wanted you to pay attention to that because I think it's important. We watch the alternative, creating the alternatives that we need. Not sure if we're going to be able to do it, but that's what we need to do. Johnson said of the negotiations with the members of his party that he is open to some changes but has not committed to anything. He pointed to the spending cuts to the IRS and pandemic funding as wins for the Republicans in his current deal and insisted it was the best deal Republicans can get while Democrats control the Senate and the House. And actually, they don't get rid of the money they're spending. They're just moving it around relative to the Soviet Kobe swindle. And they don't acknowledge that as well. But so my question on this thing relative to the pandemic, where were the Republicans to stop the fraudulent appropriations for the Kobe swindle in the first instance anyway? If they wanted to save some money, they could save the economy, see, but there wasn't about that. So where were they to stop it? Where these uniparty clowns now take credit for cutting those funds? Are you kidding me? Mind you here, those funds, those fraudulent funds, expenditures are also getting additional mileage as the whipping boy contributing to the failing economy. They also helped cause impose upon you and myself here to suffer more, like they're doing to the Britons as well. These sadistic bastards, folks, I just don't know what else to call them as we try to find the better language. It's getting very difficult. But Roman Maroni will give us a guidance, I think. A hot war going on is the one against you, I think, as we move this thing along. All of this is on those points. If you don't read it underneath the skin, we're going to talk about the budget of the government of the United States, a one line item. They can't even keep that going. No, they're going to tax you into your future generations if they want to bring everybody into austerity. And they want to destroy you. We talked about the Modernization Act coming out of the United States. Well, the German farmers are stepping up. And what they want to do here against you, it seems, relative to also people globally here, they have had enough on what they are trying to do to us. It's taking action. What are you going to do about it? Russell Bentley's talking to us, what I've said. What are we going to do about it? What do we do? What do you do? You take your knowledge and contemplate your navel all you want, but it's not going to do anything. It's not powerful at all. Knowledge is not power. Action based on that knowledge might be, is the other question. Now, AFD MP explains why German farmers are up in arms against Scholz's government. Now, we're not just talking about farming and planting and diesel fuel. Thousands of tractors converged on Berlin's iconic Brandenburg Gate on Monday for a massive rally against government plans to cut agricultural subsidies, with Finance Minister Christian Lindner booed while addressing a crowd of tens of thousands after saying that he couldn't promise any more state aid from the federal budget. Really listen to the dynamic of how government sets this up. Chancellor Scholz attempted to soothe farmers' rage over the weekend, announcing the compromise, which a government spokesman previously indicated would see a gradual cut in diesel fuel subsidies instead of slashing them all at once, plus a deal to take tax breaks for vehicles engaged in agriculture in place. German Farmers Association criticized the government's proposal as completely inadequate. AFD lawmaker Rainier Rothfuss says, quote, "I have spoken to many farmers in the past years, and they've told me that the basic problem is that they do not receive a producer price which allows them to have profit on their investment, something which is totally normal for any other business sector in Germany. So the farmers depend almost half of their income depends on subsidies. This, of course, puts them into a very, very critical situation because the decision of the government hurt them a lot. And some of what the farmers receive are not even subsidies. So one point of the dispute was that the government would not pay back 21 cents per liter for the diesel, which is being used in the machines and the tractors used in the field of the farmers." Rothfuss explained, "The latter shouldn't even be treated as a subsidy, but a means of the return, a little bit of justice for producers." Listen here, they're producers. This is where I want to key in on. "With lawmakers, since 90 to 99% of the farmers' operations using tractors and other machines in the fields, not the roads and the highways, which the state collects taxes to maintain." And I want you, this is a crucial knowledge in this story I've been explaining, and the German protesters need to change their focus a bit on this. The tax breaks presumes production is a taxable use. I've talked about this in the United States. And if we don't get this pretty straightened up, we're going to be missing a big problem that they're going to use to come back and stay on us like they have been. Government cannot tax condition the production or the material supporting production. Manufacturing is included here when you look at the scheme of how this is actually supposed to work. Until it's considered in commerce, actually in commerce. I made the distinction for you, if you listen anytime, that there's a distinction that needs to be made between production and commerce. And despite the general public denial, he acknowledges here the right there. It is not unknown that farmers' operation using tractors and other machinery is in the fields, not the roads and the highways, which the state collects taxes on to maintain. Here, any producer is included in that, but he has the general application wrong when I was looking at this. It's not just relevant to tractors that do at times use the highway. It's about the use. The production is not commerce. The profit derived from the use of the highway, which is the more pressing concern for maintenance, is what they actually regulate. So any conveyance supporting production is supposed to be off limits in the and productive capacity, because that capacity cannot be deemed to be harmful when within the rights pertinent to the use of the land. And this is getting kind of jumping over to the United States, how this is supposed to work here. If they keep their focus on this, that everything's a business and commerce, the farmers are still going to get shafted later on anyway. As you saw, they'll bring it down slowly. They know that it's not right, but they're not really addressing this quite right either. As someone who's supposed to have a right to protect it themselves, they're looking for their profit on investment. That should come, of course. But you see how subsidies destroy that. I've talked about subsidies everywhere, so it destroys all this stuff. It's the discussion of language, the use of they touched on using the incorrect descriptor, lessening the importance of production and the producers, where it says the farmer protest is a symbol. Read the article. It says it's a protest is a symbol for the situation of the whole economy. Folks, production is not merely a symbol for the situation of the whole economy. It is the functional foundation and necessity of the nation and its people in support of economy, which is secondary and tertiary levels, which commerce, the upper levels, commerce is related there, which might include raw this protection and production might include raw materials that we then move for commercial ends. We see this here in United States law, where the coal is in production and it turns into commerce when it goes to an end use. Even though I think that's a dubious distinction, that's what we need to work on that. We'll work with that right yet. What I really think is working is the presumed medium of exchange here is a fiat currency. That is government. It is economy. It is what establishes that. Why we need to get out of it is another reason. The fiat here being presumed, the fiat currency is kind of more than presumed because most people just use it. They benefit the government. The fiat currency is the benefit from the government that is being taxed, not the raw material use. Because the power here, when you send like coal to a power plant, to cut power generation is a benefit, not a harm. But I'll just reference these cases the way they say, so I don't get too far off of it. Again, the taxation the government puts on is because of the thing that they're taxing creates a harm that the tax is supposed to be put to mitigate that harm. That can't happen in production because it's actually the foundation of how your government, your whole society works. And I'm not fully explaining even that. It's just a thumbnail here. Properly managed production, which should be encouraged, does not need to be subsidized. And if there is any subsidy so called that way, it's due to the government decision to better protect society from want or excess, which if the case here is the payment for taking the product or production from a farmer, from a producer, to not produce it, that's a takings. So that's really... so that there's no unlawful takings involved in someone's lawful endeavors, and why they put their energy there at any rate at all. Well, why would somebody not want to if they didn't profit? But these values should be left to the open markets. And though there's a problem about that, without more production, there can't be considered a harm here to the public for which taxes could be relevant in mitigation. The basic property law and the proper purpose of tax, if there is a proper place for this sort of equal right, now we get back to our United States law, our exaction, i.e. the extortion, as anyone can read here at Section 19, 42 U.S. United States Code, Section 1981, will tell us these exactions are your civil rights, they're your equal rights, they're done and paid by everybody. As I've just said, though, there's not... you can't say production is the same as commerce. So that law actually violates the foundation of your nation and the grants in the United States, grants of the United States, the domestic treaties called the patent. So we read on here, more here, that the AFD lawmaker Reince Rothas, as I was reading through, is only partway here correct. What's still remaining to be removed, ended actually, is the compromise servitude upon production that the German people must completely denounce while they have their momentum now. They can't be falling short on this. The part of the story, this part here on this story is very big, maybe bigger than the yellow vests in France, because of what they're doing here. It could teach us Americans again a thing or two about their property rights, all of our property rights, and how all the governments of the United States here, the state governments, criminally deny people their property and their rights, which, absent any protest to date, means that they already are happy as Klaus Schwab in this ship of state, as Klaus Schwab and his co-conspirators intend agents of the future that they want to get, that we need to get this word out to the Germans so they can provide the protection for themselves. Because I think this works the same. It looks identical to me, but everyone falls short of where their actual pertinent rights are. This is the foundation of their rights, and it's unfederable what's going on by lawful acting government. The fact is, when it's unfederable, a word, being that it's imposed, is showing you the government's not lawfully acting. That its subsidy starts to show me, in this new age where they're talking about diesel and sustainability is really the undercore of this, those are the types of subsidies that are leverage funding to destroy your nation on the people that are paying the tax. They get destroyed over time. Two witnesses make a fact unfederably. I'll just make it a word here. There, I use it twice. So if you witness that the government has no right to touch, now you've made it so. We can make it so. We just have to spread the word. That's how we're going to protect our property rights and our rights are pertinent to the property in all this in a mutual aid. As you see, German farmers running forward, and they're actually getting the momentum too. They really need to start locking down what their rights are relative to their property and their endeavors. And that the government may subsidize, but it's not in the way they've been propped up and now servants of the government based on its policies, good, bad, or indifferent. So I would say, if you can pass this word on, if they don't understand, they can give me an email and we can discuss it. But they really need to shift their focus a little bit. Farming is not just a symbol. It's the foundation, just like mining, just like manufacturing, just like any productive capacity that the people in the nation, its nation, needs. This is partly why trade works, because some places have better resources or better labor or better whatever that we can build, we make, we produce things that we can trade globally. So this is a fight, as you saw in the Dutch, the fight against food. It's the war being waged against your food already has, now we see what they're going, the future they want is being created. We know that it's in the news that they have a sustainable substitute already as they're trying to destroy these farmers. Now, they're doing it off point, but the farmers and the ranchers don't know much. But they substitute to replace the farmers and the ranchers from the same psychopaths committing the genocide in Gaza. You think it's not connected, folks. It's all connected, as Grimner would have said. And Israel becomes the first country to approve sales of lab-grown beef. Now, beef, health minister says, Israel has become the first country to approve sales of the cultured meat based on beef, with a license already issued to the Israeli tech food firm Aleph Farms LTD for the sale of the new product, the Israeli health minister said on Wednesday. That's the health minister, folks. The same health minister agreeing to novel protein warp speed jabbing of the Israeli population that we've read is suffering some terrible after effects. As I predicted the health decisions, the reports, the studies were predicting, it wasn't too far gone to see. And I'm just wondering, do you feel better about this new food already, folks? They get rid of the farmers and they make the labs kick into gear, and the new beef-based product has been fully examined for biological safety and consumption. Safe and effective, folks. Safe and effective for what? We may not know, and it has not been disclosed, but it's safe and effective for your consumption, folks. Just get rid of more farmers. you'll have to. The ministry added that it was working on promoting alternative food sources given this growing global demand for proteins, as well as the importance of producing non-organic foods. Novel, non-organic, lipidized, proteinated foods, folks. Yum. Numbers. A novel, non-organic, lipidized proteins are not just kosher for the Zionistas or pharmaceutical company jabs. Singapore and several other countries approved the sale of cultivated meat in 2020, but that product was based on chicken, as I've reported. So none of this stuff is going to have a stop. The government wants you to have protein, not the way you want it, but the way they want to feed it to you, your feed. That's what they're doing. While here at the same time, the American government cannot function due to the influence of Saint Greta and global warming, the diesel tax and carbon. The U.S. House canceled votes on Tuesday due to the snow in Washington, despite a partial government shutdown looming in 3 days. Remember, we don't need them to spend more money. That would bring down the economy just fine. We'd start to go back into normal interest rates and all this other stuff would start to happen pretty quick, but they don't want to do it that way. Quote, members are advised that due to inclement weather conditions, voters are no longer expected in the House today. First votes this week are now expected at approximately 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, January 17th, on the rule, the House Majority Whip, Tom Emmer, said in a statement. So Congress is certainly not as dependable as the post office, it seems. But maybe that's a good thing in this case, don't you think? I'm in a bit of conundrum over this one, though. If the snow stops the funding of the current plunderous regime, then good. But always looking for an advantage, and because the government never sleeps, actually, it's proper to not fund the current ongoing government maladministration. Maybe people should show up right now here, folks, while they're not there. And show up at the house of the people all at once again. Now, be careful here on the J6, but I've told you how to do it better. And go to the offices of the respective representative to make an appointment, and to be there when they return to talk to their representative when they get back about why they are missing in action when very important matters greater than no budget threaten the nation. To do things as bring order to the border and bring remedy and accountability for what happened to people like Gonzalo Lira. Why don't you show up now while they weren't there? Show up, make an appointment, wait your turn, and wait. And while you're at it, you can tell them that the Congress can remove the restrictions, please, for us, the minor producer, the minor who is a producer, not just farming, but the foundation of your nation. Why don't you, while you're there, in mass, filling up the place, waiting for your time to talk on your appointed time, remove the restriction for the appropriation of taking a patent application for the mining claims that we would file for, and to remove the congressional breach of its land grant and help restore productivity to the country, more importantly, the people they claim to represent, as we have a climate filibustering by the Uniparty through this, as the voters braved negative 30-degree temperatures in Iowa. This was a stark difference in my mind about how this was working. The people will show up. So show up in Washington. Make your appointment. Get ready to talk with them. And so, but who's running the place and whose rights do they represent when they're not? And when maybe they won't listen, or as they did to J6, they arrest everybody and keep you in prison and torture you, just short of a lira. I routinely hear going on here quickly here. I routinely regularly refer to mostly the little known glitch in the matrix of what people think are their civil rights here. What are your rights? Who's in control of them? And what people think they are relative to what they actually are. And which I read in part in the subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Those freed, the rights given of which shall exist as enjoyed by white citizens. It's not a black and white thing. You're colored by this law that white citizens and those freed shall be subject to like punishment, pains, penalties, taxes, licenses, and exactions of every kind, and no other. Lira was also extortion, as we heard. That was, I guess, his civil rights. So that's what that law starts to say. And we listen to this, the next notice here when we get to it. Tell me whether the punishment you enjoy imposed by a commerce privateer licensed by the occupying more perfect union is not providing civil rights and insisting on that punishment equally when we read YouTube punishing ad blocker users. The Google subsidiary has blamed the extension for compromising the performance of laptops, YouTube users who try to dodge the video platform's advertisement using AdBlock browser extension, say the video sharing platform is exacting revenge by throttling their computer performance. Let me read the relevant part of the law and notice again, in case you missed it, and for consistency, quote, shall be subject to punishment. Punishment, folks. And remember, it's a statement of exaction. Now, let us toss the word salad notice here. Read here, the 3 points that YouTube will be punishing. So we have punishment in the law. The Google subsidiary has blamed the user and the subject, and the video sharing platform is exacting revenge. Exaction, punishment is your civil rights equally under the law, folks. Under section here, C, go look, and you see no non-governmental organization has the power to remove those exactions. We see at C, read it, protection against impairment. The rights protected by this section are protected against impairment by non-governmental discrimination and impairment under color of state law. Interesting, don't you think? The law of 42 U.S.C. says U.S. persons are subject to punishment described generally as exaction, and that is what the article repeats. So what chance are you going to have when trying to relieve yourself of these exactions when it's the law and you choose to engage the occupier's agents? Why do you think I say you know them when you see them, folks? Here, the takeaway, watching ads is your obligation and duty where promoting commerce is the objective and you can enjoy being punished for resisting in a post-founding father era. One more evidence of the military district open-air prison constructed around society the people are generally oblivious to, and it sounds like this model of the open-air prison called Gaza, if you think a little bit open to me, it does. As the Civil War II drums are beating, the population is being prepared to commit internecine war again in the transformation of the nation to a more perfectus union under foreign control, international law fulfilled, as they did it without in your silence and without your objection. So we can go on and read to that. YouTube warns users that the using ad blockers violates its terms of service. Users lamented their computer's laggy performance when trying to watch videos with ad block enabled. The benefit you take, the service you violate, is an insult to your punisher. Folks, listen, read what they said right there. But users only lament here is the reason. They're punishment, folks. They only lament. They do not stop it by walking away or finding alternatives. The glitch in the matrix here is not noticing, while the rest don't. In other words, the occupier gives a notice, and the people ignore it, consenting to their extortion. Yeah, it's kind of like that, folks. The matrix is not a movie, folks. It's always been fascinating to look at this. Hope I've exposed something to you or given you something to think about, give you some direction, maybe excited you to start focusing on something you can get your hands around. And everyone do the sit within their power and their skill to get advance our protection, first of all, to yourself without jeopardy, and then hopefully get more and more people involved in the things that excite them. And maybe one day we extricate ourselves from the stinking abyss that's being dug around us or into us around what we're on. We're on the edge of the precipice, some of us sliding in. But I'll be with you until then next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, This is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.